And so, Father, this morning we just we stand in your presence as sons and daughters of the living God, and we're asking you, God, to move afresh in our lives. We're asking you to have your way. We're asking you to come. And as we open your word together, we're asking you, Father God, let the truth be clear this morning so that we might be built, our lives might be built, not on hearsay, but we might build our lives upon the truth of your word. And so, God, come, Holy Spirit, have your way. Lord, we just give you this time. We thank you for what you're already doing, and we pray, God, just move by your Spirit. We bless this in your name. Amen. And amen. Amen. Very good. Very good. Last Sunday, we've starting the series, which will be interrupted next Sunday, because we're going to take in a live stream message from Commissioner Lyndon Buckingham, the Chief of Staff, who'll be in Christchurch preaching and around the Salvation Army, World of New Zealand, Fiji, Tonga, Samoa. We've got this opportunity to have that message. I know he's a great speaker, and he'll be chasing that other wing. You know, remember the two wings? He'll be chasing the wing of the power of the Spirit, the need for us to be empowered by the Spirit. But I said to you last Sunday, I'm just going to spend some weeks just on this other wing that I talk about, which is the sense of for us knowing who we are, and for us what should be our response to discipleship and things like this. So basically last Sunday morning, I thank Jamie for the way in which he's putting on very quickly onto the website the messages that, and so we do have a web page. If you don't know about that, go find it. It's very easy. Once you've found, it's very easy to find the messages that we've been having, and I invite you to do it. This is what we said last Sunday. God's in the business of building every life here this morning. He's in the business of building your life. He wants it to be strong. He wants you to have a life some people say to me, Ivan, can you give me a picture of what the life should look like? It's the life of Christ. It's his cry. It's his life. It's his lifestyle. And what God will do is he will allow storms to come. He will allow storms to come because the storm will show you how you've been building. Okay, so when things are going really well, when the sun is shining, things are good, we just think we can conquer the world. It's when the storm comes that we know what we're really like, okay? One of the things that I wanted to say to you is that there are five key messages that I would want you to live in, to know, to make it part of your life, so that when the storm comes, the reflex of your life is just, this is where I kick into. This is what I know. Last week we started to talk about the sense of identity. We haven't finished. Because the greatest problem in your life and my life today is our identity. We say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, I know that I've been born again, I know what, da-da-da-da-da-da. But the reality is that so often in the life of the storm, in the midst of the storm, our identity doesn't arise. It's usually this broken, fallen individual that just wants to escape. It's just too hard. You know, that's what tends to come out in the midst of a storm. Where God would want sons and daughters to rise up in the midst of the storm. Sons and daughters of the living God. So there is a message. You know, there are life scripts that sometimes we'll hear. When the storm is in, around identity. You know, a lot of people, when the storm is on, now a storm is that hard time, right? It can be financial, it can be emotional. You know storms. You know, I don't have to define storms. We're good at knowing storms. But sometimes what happens is that the message we hear is this, that in the midst of this, you know, this tough time, we go, we hear the sound, you're worthless. You're worthless. You're hopeless. You aren't even supposed to be here. This is what tends to happen in the midst of the storm. You know, you go, oh, this is not what my life is about. And we want to escape. We want another thing that tends to be heard in the midst of the storm. You're a mistake. Many people, I've heard this over the years, 38 years in ministry. These are the types of things that I hear people talking about when they're in the midst of a storm. Something is drastically wrong with you. Right? something is drastically wrong with you. I hear this, you know, you're in the midst of a storm, you're going, oh, what's wrong with me? This is what we hear. This is the sound that comes. You are a nobody. You're useless. You're dumb. You're a mistake. You're a no-hoper. This sound tends to rise up. And you say, yeah, it must be tough for those that aren't Christian. I'm talking about Christians. I'm talking about Christians. This is the sound that comes up. So I'm, you know, like, oh, I got to get out of here. This is too hard. This is too tough. I never expected this, right? This is not what I thought would happen to me. And this is all around identity. This is all around the sense of who you think that you really are. So I want you to have a look at the scripture. Let's go to the Bible. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. And I am helping far too much, but it will be on the screen. But I'd like you, if you've got a Bible, get it out this morning in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. I want to give you some key scriptures around a sense of identity. I want you to understand how God sees you. In Genesis 1, verse 27, it says this: so God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Now, this scripture is in the context of a world before it had fallen. This is the context of God creating a world which is his kingdom, the kingdom of God. This is what it is. And the Bible tells us that we were created not in the image of monkeys. I've always thought, you know, man, humanity does an injustice to the monkey. Because I don't see monkeys treating each other like humans treat each other. You know, come on, leave the monkeys alone. No, we were actually created. The Bible says, and listen, you know, and we'd look at it and we think, man, you know, it's right. You know, humanity is evil. What we will do to each other. But that wasn't what it's always been like. When before we sensed that we've lost this world, when the picture of what the world that God created it to be, God created man and woman in his image. Stop, pause. Selah means, think about this, in his image we were created. In the image of God, that's who we are. So I want you to get a picture of this, of the kingdom of God. Go to the next guy. There'll be a number of scriptures. I want you to understand what the kingdom of God looks like. The Bible says, Genesis 1, verse 26, look at it. Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. This is God's order. He's making you and I in his image, what? To be like him. To be like him. To be like him. We used to sing a song in the Salvation Army. It says, to be like Jesus, this hope possesses me. Well, that's the reality, that we would be like him. That when creation, what God was doing here was that when creation would look at humanity, they would know what God is like. Right? That's us. You say, oh, no, I haven't known. I don't feel anything like that. No, we have moved so far away from our identity. But this is how God sees us. God sees us as being created by him in his image, it says. And then in verse 26, it says, they will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. But listen, we were created, first of all, in his image, in his likeness. And God gave us a place to live. God gave us a place to dwell. God gave us a place where we were to reign. God gave us a place that we were to take charge of. And we would say, well, where is it? And you would say, Ivan, it's heaven. It's called heaven. God created us for heaven. No, he didn't. Psalm 115, have a look at it. You got your Bible. Psalm 115. Psalm 115 says this, verse 16. said, the heavens belong to the Lord. No problem with that. The heavens belong to the Lord, verse 16, but he has given the earth to all humanity. Okay? So his kingdom was this, that he would create man and woman in his likeness so that they would look like him, and he would place them in heaven. No, no, no. He would place them in earth. The earth is ours. Now, hey, this is the subtle. Now, some people will say, you got to watch this guy present because, you know, sometimes he'll preach heresy. This is where some guys have a problem with me. I've got a problem with the church today. It's absolutely right. We are getting people all get up for heaven. When God wanted, when God ordained, when God's mind was no human, I want my kingdom on earth. I want my kingdom on earth. Where'd you get that off from, Ivan? Here. Right here. God created us. Why? God created us what? To take charge. God told us what? Some translation says in Genesis 1, God says it's for you to go and multiply, to go. And there's this picture that his kingdom outside of the Garden of Eden wasn't as God would want it. And he wanted the world changed. How? By him moving? Well, yes. Him moving in delegated authority given to people that we would go and we would change the world. That's why I love William and Catherine Booth. They were crazy people. They believed this. They believed the world for God. They believed the world for God. They believed that the world could be changed by God. No, 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 no. No, the message is, no, get people saved so they can go to heaven.
Yeah.
All right? And the reality is, what happens? What happens is we will one day die, but what will God do in the final moment of time in Revelations? Does anybody know what Revelation says? And God will create a new heaven and a... Why an earth? We don't need an earth, we'll be in heaven. No, he will completely restore his picture, right? Where will we be living? We'll be living on earth. Oh, no, I thought I was going. Right? There's a reason why we need to do this. And the reason is this. Let me illustrate to you like this. If I got a telephone call right now from the territorial commander and he said, Ivan, get Glenda. That's normally what it goes like. Get Glenda. So we go there. Yeah, we're here now, Andy. Ivan, I want to tell you that you're going to get farewell orders. You're out of there. We're appointing you to Timbuktu. And we thought about Siberia, but we thought that was too good for you. And now we're sending you to Timbuktu, right? I'll tell you what will happen in me. You'll say, crazy. But I'll tell you what happened. There will be an automatic shift in me. Right? From this moment of this call, there'll be an automatic shift. And you know what the shift will be? I will start to think about the new appointment. And what I'll tend to do, it'll be subtle, but I'll start to take my hands off my current responsibility. Right? If I think I'm going to heaven, what will I leave alone?
Mom.
Who was it through history? Where did it come out of? What group of people did the advancement in science come? Does anyone know? It was through Christians. Where through education? Where through arts and music? But lately, the Christian church has gone quiet. Why? Because they have received farewell orders, they have taken their hands off the world, and they are now looking to another appointment. William and Catherine Booth would be astounded. They wouldn't believe what they see today. They wouldn't even understand. Where did this message come from? Because some of you, you've got to hear this. For some of you, this is only a recent sound in the church. It's only been a recent sound. Guys like William Booth, John Wesley, all these old revivalists, all these old Martin Luther, they wouldn't have a clue what we're up to because their eyes were never, in a sense, Their eyes were never on the sense that eternity, that heaven was the goal. It was heaven on earth.
Yeah.
It was our world changing today. Reformation would never happen in the church today. That's why we're struggling with Reformation. Why? Because our heads are in the wrong place. Our heads are in a different appointment. Do you understand this? Reformation won't come to this world until God changes the mindset and says, no, you guys, now love me, will you? Because I think we might be here a little longer than some people think. Because I believe that God's heart is still for the world. And there's still so much of this world that is in darkness. Right? It's an easy cop-out to get down to the rapture bus stop and wait. I'm out of here. That is an easy message, but it is a message of no responsibility. And I do not see that in God's kingdom at all. Because who did he give authority to rule? He gave it to you and I, and we've delegated it. Okay? So there's the blasphemy. Some go, oh, gee, can't listen to that. You know what this message will do? It'll mean that you'll take responsibility for the world that you're living in. Is that bad? Is that bad? You'll take responsibility for your street, your walk, and your look, and you think, man, this place is in darkness. Can I not do something as the light? Is that bad? Will it mean that some of you who are sitting and weighing down and going through stuff and you're struggling and you need an answer and you're now going to say, God, please give me wisdom. Give me wisdom because I want to take ownership of this moment. I want to find the cure. I want to find the change. I want to find the answer. Would that ever be wrong for this world today? Because God will grant you wisdom to those who will take responsibility for the now. Do you understand? So we were created for earth. And we were created in right relationship. In Genesis 3, have a look at it. Genesis chapter 3, in verse 8 there, it says that when the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord walking about in the garden. And this is the moment when they have fallen. So it goes on to talk about they began to hide themselves. I don't want you to consider the darkness. I want you to consider the world that God had created. He created a world where we would be in right relationship. He created a world where we would just walk together. He created this world where this was his world, this was his kingdom. His kingdom was that we would be in unified, that we would be one. And the Bible says, and I'll need to go here because some people will struggle with this, we were created to rule. Genesis 1:28. I've already read it to you. No, I haven't, but I'm going to read it then. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it, reign over the fish in the sea, the birds of the sky, and all the animals that scurry to the ground. Now, you're here, you're listening to me, okay? You're listening to me? Are you listening to me? We were created to rule. Not like Adolf Hitler. We were created to rule. You listen to me? Because this is where some people say, oh, you watch it. He gets a little funny here. We were created to rule. We were created to be the head, not the tail. The reason why when stuff is on top of you, you don't like it. You know why? Because you weren't created to know it like that. You were created to rule. You were created to reign. You were created to be a son and daughter in the midst of the world and to go forth and subdue, right? That's who we are. So when you say you're under it, well, something's wrong. You with me? You were created to be the head. But listen, you were created. You were created to be to rule as God rules. And God doesn't rule like Adolf Hitler. God rules with two key things in mind. He shows us by sending his son. The two key forces in the life of a person to rule is these. Now, please hear me. Please hear me, because this is where people just tune off. They say, oh, man, this sound of this kingdom stuff, it's about ruling and leading and subduing and da-da-da-da, and it's all, that's so wrong in our world. But listen, this is how Jesus came and ruled. He came in love, and he came in servanthood. servanthood. Not in arrogance. Although when you look at him, he was pretty arrogant to some people, wasn't he? It looked like arrogance, but it wasn't arrogance. It was more out of a sense of anger. But listen, he came with two. This is how we're to serve. This is how we're to love. We're to rule. We're to rule our world by love and by serving. By love and by serving. It's not by domination. You know, the heart of the Christian is this. The heart of the Christian is not that you walk into the Prime Minister's world today. I don't believe this. This is where the church is sometimes getting it wrong too. We go into the Prime Minister's world and we give her the idea that she is an evil woman and that I'm a righteous person and I need her seat. I think that is totally not how Jesus wants to reign. I think Jesus wants to reign that we would go within the world of our Prime Minister and say, I am here to love and I am here to serve. And by doing that, I'll lead. Right? By doing love and by doing servanthood, I'll lead. So I do. I struggle. You know, like, our biggest problem in our world today is don't tell anybody you're a Christian. Right? Because the moment they hear that, they think that you'll be, you know, you'll basically look at them in a way, you know, and we have forgotten because hey, one of the things I'll never forget is I've been a sinner. What right have I got to judge a world? I still remember what I was like as a sinner because I'm a saint that sins. And what right have I got? So what? How should I come within my world then? How should I come within my work environment? How should I come to rule? I come to rule. How should I come? I'll come with love and I'll come to serve. I'll come to love and I'll come to serve. This is who we are. So here's the kingdom picture. His royal family on earth in right relationship with all power and authority to rule. That's the picture that we have. His royal family on earth in right relationship with all power and authority to rule. Okay? Do we get that? I just want to pause. Do you get that? So when the storm comes, what happens? Royal family rises up in the midst of every situation in right relationship with Father God, what? With all power and authority to rule. How will we rule? We will rule in love, and we will rule in love and servanthood. That should be the sound that we hear in the midst of the storm. You don't get your worthless peace. Look where you know, da-da-da, okay? Right? So I want you to go a couple of slides on Paul. And go to John chapter 1, verse 12. John chapter 1, verse 12 says this. But to all who believe him and accepted him, he gave them the right, what? To become children of God. Children of God. That's who we are. We are the children of God. You say, Ivan, I know this. I know this. Well, live like it then. I know this, Ivan, yeah? Well, live like it. Live like it. We are the children of God. John 3:16 speaks about Jesus. You know this verse very well, but it says this. It says, for this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. This is a picture. This is a picture of a restoration of his kingdom, of his kingdom. So just want to clarify, I am not saying that there will come a day when I will die. Yeah. That day will come. Yeah. And on that day, I will enter the presence and the fullness of heaven, but that is not my eternal home because I believe that one day, when all this is over, he will create a new heaven and a new earth, and we will be restored. I don't know how this will be, you know, but this is what I believe. It'll be restored. Okay? That's what I believe. I don't believe that heaven is my home. I believe that there is always something about earth that will always be my home. God wants us to change this world, folks. God wants us to change Lower Hutt. God wants us to change the people that we come in contact with. Okay, finishing now. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Paul says this. I'd like to turn Romans 12. He says, you know this scripture pretty well, some of you, but I'm hoping that you may see it now in a different light. So he says in verse 1, he says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, okay, family, so brothers and sisters, not Christians, not, no, no, this is who you are now, right? You belong to a family. He says, I plead with you, I plead with you. Give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. What has he done for us? You see, some people say, well, he's talking about Jesus here, isn't he? Well, what did Jesus do for us? You're going to say to me, you're going to say, well, he came, why, to die for our sins upon the cross. Absolutely right. But that's not. He came to restore a kingdom. He came to restore you and I. He came to restore us so that we can have authority and power again. He came to restore us as sons and daughters. He came to restore us so that we could, if we believe in him and if we believe in what he's done, that he would make us children of God. That's what he's done. He's got the Holy Spirit back into our world. That's what he's done. He's got us with another picture of the kingdom. And that's what he's done. So he says this. He says, let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. And then in verse 2, he says this. Now, this is a key verse. He says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. In other words, he's saying, you were actually born into sin. You were born into a world. You were born into a worldview, which is not God's worldview. He says, don't, as sons and daughters now, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. But let God transform you, right, into a new person by attending meetings and getting in prayer lines. Does he say that? All right. Let God change you, transform you, by getting you to just work your butt off. No. He says, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Right? How are we thinking? We're thinking the way of the world. He's saying, no, we are now to see ourselves as God sees us. We are now to change the way we think. If we change the way we think, then he says you will be transformed. You will be transformed, right? Then, this is the key. Yeah, I don't know if you've ever seen this, but here it is. Then, he says, then, after you've been changing the way you think, he says, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So Paul comes along and he says this, he looks at this, he says, hey, listen, the problem is that our thinking is stinking. Our thinking is wrong. You're thinking like the ways of the world. When you get in the midst of the storm and think, I got to get out of here, I'm useless, I'm no good, that's the way of the world. That's the way of darkness. We've been taught that stuff. He said, but there's another world, there's another kingdom, there's another way to think. He says, this time, now change the way you think. Now you're all sitting here saying, if only I knew the will of God. If only, you know, I must go and see Ivan afterwards and make an appointment with him and say, tell me what the will of God is for my life. Well, Paul says there's a way to know it. He says, if you will begin to change the way you think, if you begin to change the way that you see things, when you walk into the world, you now walk in with God's eyes, God's mind, God's ways. He says, you won't need to worry about the will of God because you'll know it. Right? That's why you're struggling. Because you've got to change the way you're thinking. Now I love this because, you see, the right-wing stuff is the power of God. I'll tell you what I've seen over the years. I've seen guys who've been addicted, drugs, who've come forward for prayer, and they have got knocked out. They have shaken under the power of God. It's been amazing. No doubt they've got up going, man alive, that's the biggest high that I've ever had in my life, you know. And they've gone, and within 2 hours, they're back to where they were. They've just had an encounter with the Almighty God, and they know it. They know. I've seen it so many times. They've just got up. They go, man alive, I don't think I'll ever be the same. I'll say, man, look what God's done in your life. Oh, yeah, oh, man, this is just great. Oh, hallelujah. And within 2 hours, they're back. Why? Their head, their mind. Be not conformed to the things of this world, but be transformed in a new person. Why? By getting Ivan to pray for you. No. By changing the way you see things. The way, right? So when the storm comes and you're going to rise up and you're going to go, I'm useless, I'm hopeless, I'm a nobody, I've got to get out of here. No, you'll rise. That's old thinking. You're going to change the way you think. In the midst of the storm now, you're going to rise up and you're going to say, I am a son. I am a daughter. I'm a son. I'm a daughter. I am the one that you promised would never leave me nor forsake me. You are my father. And I'll tell you, if we start to see this sound more and more in the life of this world will change. This world will change. But for this to happen, we've got to change the way we think. We've got to change the way we think. It's a process, and it's called sanctification. It's not a moment. It is a process of training. I walked into the doctor the other day. There's some things not good in my life at the moment. He said to me, Ivan, he said, how healthy are you, mate? I said, he's a Christian guy. I'll say that now. He's a Christian doctor. And I said, oh, not too healthy. No, I've been better. He said, oh, yeah, okay. He said, so what do you do? I said, oh, I used to be a walker. I used to do a bit of walking. And he said, oh, yeah, okay. He said, that would have been good for you. I said, I'm a bit of a, when I'm a down, I tend to look for food, for comfort. Oh, yeah. Has that been good for you? No, that's not so good for me. Well, do you know what? Look, you don't need to, I said, don't start the speech. I know the speech. I know. So, of course, you see, we're two Christian men together. It's this. Just pray with me now, doctor. Just pray with me now that I'll be walking and I'll be eating right and I'll be, and I'll rise. Hallelujah. From his office, never again, to be the same, because I just got delivered. I'm now walking. I'm now eating right. No. I tell you, it's going to require discipline. It's going to require changing the way I think. Right? Well, it would have been so much easier for the doctor to come into that surgery, God to come into that surgery just by his spirit. Could he do it? Yeah, he could do it. Why doesn't he do it? Because he wants me to learn to rule. And if I can't rule over my appetites, what right have I got to rule? You with me? So he could do it, but he chooses not to. He said, no, go the other wing, Ivan. This is going to be discipline. So pray for me, because I got to break the way I think. Because at the moment, I'm living in Kelston on a hill, there's a good reason not to walk. All right. There's KFC down the bottom of the hill. Praise God. But you're with me? It's going to require me to change. So I'm saying to you, sons and daughters of the living God, start changing the way you think. Come on. We're sons. We're daughters. We're called to rule in love, in servanthood. Got stuff kicking you around. What right is what? Is it the devil? He got no right. He's got no authority over your life. Tell him to stop it. If you say to me, Ivan, the devil torments me. Well, you're the boss. Tell him to stop it. Right? And if he doesn't believe you, say, well, in Jesus' name then. Right? He's the one who shows me the lifestyle. Look to him. That's how I am. That's what you do when you say Jesus' name. You look to him because that's me. Right? In Jesus' name. Sons and daughters of the living God. I'd like us to go back to chorus. Here I am to worship. Because that's all we can do, really, as sons and daughters. That's the very best place to be. In the midst of a storm, sometimes all you need to do is say, well, here I am. Can you see it's different for me? Here I am. It's not the worthless one, the hopeless one, the runner, the guy who needs da-da-da-da. No, no, it's here I am, the son. Here I am, the daughter. Here I am to worship. I'm to worship. Some of you are going through tough times right at the moment. I want you, as we just finish our time together, I want you just to worship him as a son and as a daughter. I want you to hear the voice of the Father. Now, this is where I will have prayer, because sometimes, like the other day, I was in a group of ministers, and there's a guy, I love him. His name's Seth Fawcett. You heard of him? He's at the Hope. He's just around the corner. I've known him for years, Seth. He's a great guy. He really is. Is he perfect? He may not be. Because I'm not. Are you? Could I please meet all the perfect ones afterwards, please? None of us. You know, we've all got our stuff. But I'm in the scene, and all of a sudden, I feel somebody. You know, I thought, oh God, you're really real today. Like it's like somebody with a hands on the shoulder, and then it was a voice, and I thought it was the voice of God, and then realised, no, that's Seth Fawcett. But he came around. He put his hands on me, and he's just praying. He was pouring out his heart for me. That moment did me a lot of good. That a fellow brother would just come along and love me by praying for me. Can we do that? Can we do that before we leave? If you're really in a bad way this morning, if you're in a tough place, can you just let it be known? Come on out here or go to somebody. And let's love each other by praying for each other this morning. Praying. Here's a son, God. Here's a daughter, God. Bless them. Pour out your favor on them. That'd be a good way to finish, amen. If you're on a, you know, if you're having a hard time, folks, I'm looking around and I'm seeing some of you having a hard time. And you're saying to me, is Ivan trying to break through on something here? You betcha I am. I'm not saying take away the storm. I'm saying sons and daughters, rise up in the midst of the storm and let God bless you. So let's stand, shall we? And let's sing together. And then I'm going to pray. If you want prayer, we'll continue on. But we're just going to sing this through once and then I'm going to pray. And our meeting will be over. But let there be the ministry to each other as sons and daughters, as family this morning. May God bless you. Here I am to worship. Light of the world. You step down into darkness. Does that make sense to you? It did for me. It does for me. See, light of the world, different kingdom. Step down into darkness. Opened my eyes to see. Right? See, it's whole different when I know the story. Oh, yeah. Next line. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life. What? Spent with him. In the fellowship of the garden. Spent with him, right? So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you are my God. Let's sing it together, shall we? And then we'll pray. We'll pray together. sons and daughters in your family this morning. And we pray to God that, Father, that the message that we've been sharing in this morning, that we would have eyes to see, that we would have ears to hear, that we would have a heart to obey, dear God, that we would, Lord God, rise up in this day, dear God, to be the people of God that you want us to be. Oh, Father, we thank you for our world. We thank you for what's happening. We thank you, God, yeah, we thank you for every situation in life. And we pray now, Holy Spirit, we pray, God, that your blessing, the blessing of belonging to your family, would rest on us, dear God. The blessing of being sons and daughters of the living God would rest upon us and be in our families. We pray for our kids. We pray, Father, Lord God, that, Lord, our children would see this morning, Lord, what it is to belong to the family of God. So, Father, Lord, just have your way. My Lord, I pray for those this morning in this congregation that's having a tough time. I pray, Father, that in the midst of the storm, a son, a daughter will arise in the power of the Holy Spirit. And God, just do what you would call them to do, that they would be bound to your will, O God. Oh, Father, we thank you, God. And we pray now, Lord, come with us as we go. For we ask this in your name. Amen. And amen. God bless you, folks. There is tea and coffee. If you want prayer, then continue to seek prayer this morning. God bless you.